Becoming a well-rounded person in our modern society is no easy task, never mind finding your true purpose in the process. Thus, at School of Human Potential Radio, we invite world-renowned experts for a discussion on how to achieve both and lead a healthy, wealthy, and fulfilling life. Topics are all over the mind, body, and spirit spectrum, and guests range from Lisa Williams to Yakov Smirnoff and everyone in between. Listen live, call in, and allow us to help you reach your full potential. Here's your host, Alan Weisberg.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to School of Human Potential Radio. I am your host, Alan Weisberg, and thank you very much for joining us tonight. Tonight, we're continuing our quest to make all of us well-rounded individuals, so we bring in guests from all over the world, and tonight we have a guest from Australia. I'll do my best not to get into a terrible Australian accent, which I have a tendency to get into. Deb is already laughing, so I am doing my job. We're welcoming Deb Lang to the program. Hi, Deb.
Hi, Alan. It's great to be here.
Well, pleasure to have you on. So what I wanted to speak to Deb about, and we'll get into that in just a second, but how do you get into the wisdom of your own body? And how do you intuit that wisdom and working with the process? And Deb has a wonderful program that they're launching right now. But before we get to it, let's find out a little bit about you, Deb. Can you please tell us your background and what led you to this program?
Mm-hmm. Well, long story, but I know we haven't got all day.
Oh, we got about 55 minutes, so we're good.
Okay. So really, I started my quest really early in life. I guess I was really curious, and I did become an educator at first. That was my first career step, education in schools. And what I could just see that, like, we have so much human potential. Kids have so much human potential, and yet the education systems just seem to be cutting it off from kids. You know, kids thrive. They're just learning all the time. They're learning with their bodies, with their little spirits. They're touching, tasting, rolling. One minute they're a Superman, the next minute they're a nurse or whatever. You know, they're just absolutely, you know, the learning is huge. And then as we become adults, we become so stilted and stuck, and we sort of become one persona, and we don't have to be limited. We don't have to be limited to who we think that we've become just because of our childhood or our upbringing, whatever else that's clouded with our teachers or parents or whatever other authority figures telling us we need to be this way or whatever. So I guess I've been on that whole exploration of human potential all my life. It led me from schools to working with teachers to create learning environments. It led me then to business studies and going into organisational development. I did a master's specifically studying. My thesis was called A Sense of Being. So it was all about human potential, how we do create a sense of being in ourselves, where we are grounded, authentic, where we can be resilient. So I did a lot of work in the corporate world. Then I had my little midlife crisis, as many of us have, got divorced, went on another quest, took time out, travelled the world, sought out teachers all around the world, including Indigenous people, you know, walking with Indigenous elders in the middle of Australia, singing and dancing with Himba people in Namibia. So I really explored all sorts of modalities and things. And then came back to Australia and launched in the online world and sort of putting all this together now so that I can really support people who are on the same journey, wanting to let go of whatever it is that they thought they had to be and really finding their true selves. So, yeah, big journey. And, yeah.
It's a fabulous one. It certainly sounds interesting, and you've mentioned human potential at least four times in that sentence, which I really love because that's really what I'm trying to do, is enabling people to find their potential and continue growing and not be locked into who they think they are or what their environment allows them to be, and rather expand and figure out who they are, what they came here to do, and then realign their life in order to be with that. So, You know, my midlife crisis, which I've been having for the last couple of years, thankfully did not lead to divorce in my case. God bless my
well
wife.
Well done. Well done.
I won't take the credit for it. I think it's more my wife that decided not to divorce me and support me. So God bless her for that.
Yeah.
You mentioned, and I do want to get into your program, but some things that you mentioned that I wanted to ask about in the education system. You know, I have small kids. I have a 10 and a 5-year-old, and we went through different education systems, and we liked certain ones. We didn't like others. But the love of learning is what the kids should be experiencing, which brings me to a few particular methodologies that are applicable in the United States. Aside from the public school system and the private one, we have Montessori and we have Waldorf. Have you had any experience with either of those? I'd like to know your opinion on them.
Yeah, no, I mean, I haven't. I didn't teach in those sorts of schools, but I do know them, and I do know teachers have, and kids who've gone through them, and yes, highly recommend them, highly, because they are holistic. They do let kids really explore their gifts. They do, it is mind, body, and soul. It's using all modalities. You know, art's important, nature's important. So it's not just a traditional education system just tends to really highlight rational cognitive thinking, maths and sciences, very, you know, logical sort of intellectual work is where we seem to be at. And also, although it's changed a lot now, but still a lot of the models are very what I call expert-driven, so it's very, very, they're very authoritarian models. I know something, you don't know anything, I'm going to fill you up with information. And that's whether it's a school system, whether it's training and development programs, whether it's universities. Whereas the models, you know, the Montessori, Waldorf and other educational adult learning models really come from that you do have wisdom, inherent wisdom. We have it within our bodies. We're born with wisdom. And so how do we actually create the environments where we can nurture ourselves, where that can blossom, where it can come forth, where we can make wise decisions for ourselves, where we can take responsibility for who we're being in the world. It's a very different model. So, yes, but I think if you've got your kids in Montessori schools or Waldorf schools, good on you. They're great places.
Not Waldorf. We have a school, but it's not really close to us, and we decided to go against that. But we do have our kids in the Montessori program. And I find it so fascinating. I'm going to go on a tangent for just a few minutes, but if we're looking globally, the reason why people seem to have a problem with these types of approaches is allowing kids the freedom of deciding what they want to do. And if we expand that out, we start getting into religion, we start getting into politics, we start getting into corporate, and everywhere we see the same model. People are rebelling against losing control. Because what will people do if we allow them the chance to do whatever they want? Well, that's not okay. We're going to lose control. We can't have that. I find that so humorous. And, you know, take Waldorf, for instance. One of the things that I know about that program, or at least I think I remember properly, is that they don't really learn math, or they don't teach them how to read until much later. They don't have any computers. As a matter of fact, they tell you to get rid of the computers in the house or don't allow your children to look at the computers because they want to stop that. They want children to experience the world through their hands and through their eyes and through the different learning. And in doing research today for my program that I'm launching, the Seamless Method, there's my plug, I saw that their statistics are that children right now spend more than 7 hours every day in front of some sort of a screen. Considering the fact that, you know, 24 hours in the day, we're sleeping for, you know, 8-9 hours, we're eating and we're doing something else. That's a huge part of the day that kids are passively doing nothing. They're not experiencing the world and they're not interacting with others. All they're doing is in front of the screen. So there's a lot to that philosophy of letting kids just be instead of forcing information down their throats, allowing them to actually make their own choices. Because as adults, we get into that same rut. As an educator myself and teaching adult education in the IT industry and now transitioning to the, you know, self-help and motivation, it's very hard to tell people, okay, you know, you have all of your options, now decide what you want to do. Because by that time, by being adults, we're so used to being handheld. And we're used to being told, this is what it is, and here are the step-by-step instructions, and this is what you're doing. It's a very frustrating experience for some because they don't know what to do. But if we only allow our children and we nurture that environment in which they can make choices and empower them in order to do so, what beautiful adults they will make. So, sorry for the tangent, but it's...
No, it's not a tangent because I totally agree with everything you say. But if you, like, historically, if you look back as to how schools were created, it was Industrial Revolution times, and then people moved off the agricultural areas and where they were living in communities much more connected with the earth and the senses and the rhythms of life, put into industrial factories and things, and then schools were created, you know, schools basically created in the same kind of model of we're now going to control you so that you can be conformed and yes, you're going to have some literacy so that you can then work in our factories. And, you know, literacy, of course, at first was for well-to-do, very wealthy people. It wasn't for the common man, so to speak, the common person. But so, I mean, and here's a plug for somebody else. I did interview myself, a beautiful man called Philip Shepherd, who wrote the book New Self, New World. And he has a wonderful historical outline of how we have, in the last 1400 years, how we have moved away from, you know, being connected with nature, being connected holistically with our gut intelligence, our heart intelligence, and moved up into the mind. And it is connected with religion and politics. And it is connected with the hierarchy, and it's a belief system. It's sort of saying, well, the mind is the source of intelligence. We disconnect from our bodies, and in fact, religion would say, and I think even some Buddhists say anything sensory is kind of like secondary. So we've got this disconnect going on, but the other thing around control, and of course armies are, you know, centered around control, you know, our governments are centered around control, but the other thing about all of that is that the more secure you are within yourself, the more you can live in a free state, make choices for yourself, but the more insecure you are, the more codependent you are, the more dependent you are on people telling you what to do, the more you want to be in a controlled environment yourself, the more you're looking for control. You're looking, what I find really fascinating in some forums I'm in, is people seeking information and they want to be told what to do. And then if you then ask them questions to help them find their own answers, it's like, oh no, you're not good enough because you're not telling me what to do. You know, so there's a transition that goes on between finding out that, in fact, no, I don't want you to tell me what to do. I want you to help me learn for myself so that I can be empowered. That's what empowerment is, that I'm free to make a choice for myself. But ever since we've been kids, all our systems have taught us to look out for information outside of ourselves, be told what to do, and then we flounder around, and living in our heads creates huge amounts of anxiety and stress, and it's any wonder there's stress and depression in the world because we're disconnected from our bodies. And we live in this abstract world, and as you said, kids living in front of computer screens, what is going to happen to them as adults if they haven't had the lived experience of touch and taste and smell and relationship, where we are actually feeling our energy between each other, and they've just related to a computer screen. So they're seeing and experiencing the world through technology rather than through their lived experience of life itself. So, I think this work is huge. It's got it's not going to go away. It's going to be more and more demand for people to come back into themselves and find themselves.
Statistics are, or some studies are showing that, or predicting rather, that by 2020, half of the Americans, or North Americans, United States, are going to be obese. And I mean, there are many factors relating to that, you know, our sugar consumption, the fact that only 5% of adults actually exercise as much as they need to be, which is only half an hour a day. So there are many things into it, but, you know, TV screens and computer screens and everything else has to do with it. I find it fascinating. Again, going from more of the global perspective, is that we as spiritual people, spiritual souls, come into a physical body to experience a physical world. And yet what we're doing while we're here is sitting in front of a computer screen or a TV screen experiencing somebody else's life virtually. What's the point of coming down here if you're not actually living your own life, if you're still living somebody else's? I find that very, very peculiar.
Once again, I totally agree. But you know, like when we've I mean, it's a bit of a catch 22, but as I said, if we've got a 1400 year history of having a belief system around living in, and it's not like, I always say I'm not throwing the baby out with the bathwater. Sure, right. Technology has brought huge benefits to us. Reading, literacy has brought huge benefits to us. But it's like it's like anything where you indulge in it too much without having some kind of balance.
Yep.
Anything can be good or it can be bad, or I don't really like putting judgments on it, but so too much technology, so sitting in front of a screen all day, sure, and eating sugar all day isn't going to be good for you, but to use technology for, as a benefit,
yes,
fantastic, where you can still have a life with human connection and relationship, and because that's what human beings are, we're social creatures, we need relationships, but that's relationship with self and other.
Yeah.
Relationship with nature, relationship with animals. But yeah, I mean, obesity, stress, depression, I mean, I know it's not a simple answer. That's not just one reason why people are obese and one solution for everybody. But that, to me, a lot of it is once again the disconnect, because if you are connected to your body and if you see your body as a, I call it like my sacred home, my home for my soul, I'm going to look after it.
Yep.
And if I'm connected to it, I'll be listening to the messages and noticing whether what I put in my mouth to feed and care for my home is making me feel good or if it's making me feel sick. And if it makes me feel sick, I'm not going to eat it. So it's like kind of like we've lost our connection with what makes us feel alive. What is well-being? Because so many people are so used to feeling stressed and tension or disease or unwellness is like the norm now.
Mm-hmm.
So to feel well is almost like an exception today, or to feel not tense. Like I did this workshop on grace last year, ease and grace, and it was really interesting because after we did some exercises, I then said to people, well, how often do you feel this? Which, you know, and they say, oh, yes, I remember one time in my life, or, oh, yes, once a year, or, you know, there was an event one time. What are we doing if tension and conflict is the norm and grace and ease and peace? It doesn't have to be happiness as in, you know, up in the sky all the time, but just neutral peace, contentment isn't the norm, but tension...
I completely agree. Just to continue on that thought, the whole idea of the word, or the two words in this case, stress management. Mm. The idea behind that is scary in itself, because stress management implies that stress is there. It's how you manage it. Mm. Why is stress there in the first place? It's like getting an award for automobiles, which they're advertising of, we're the best in initial quality. What exactly does that mean? Does that mean that when I drive the car off the lot in the first 3 months, it doesn't break? Let's celebrate that. Let's celebrate a new car not breaking immediately. What is that? Why do we need stress management? Let's get rid of stress, because stress avoidance is not something that's being advertised. It's stress management. So. Yeah. All
and it's the same with anger management. Yeah. I've got a course on anger, and I don't call it anger management at all. I say, if you're feeling anger, there is something that you haven't been listening to, because there's normally things that happen before anger, and you're not listening to your body. So anger is then surfacing because there's been some injustice, or you haven't spoken up for yourself, or you've been allowed yourself to be disrespected. So it's not managing the anger. It's listening to your body. Knowing how to preserve justice, safety, respect. And when you do those things, you don't get angry. But if you don't do those things and you let somebody abuse you, you're going to get angry if you see injustice in the world. Sure, anger is a form of an emotion that propels you to take action to restore justice.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about managing it and put, you know, putting a lid on it. Now I have to control it more. So a lot of our strategies, like, as you said, stress management or anger management, are more control.
Right. I imagine a pot that's boiling. You can control it all you want and you can stick things down, but if it's boiling, it's going to come out eventually. And the more pressure it's under, the higher the consequence of actually coming out. So don't manage it. Listen to it. Let it out. And then, deal with it. Deal with what's happening.
Exactly. All right. Well, Alan, I'm really enjoying our conversation because I'm on the same wavelength.
Definitely. Me as well. And no wonder both of us are B-School folks as well. By the way, for everybody, we realized a few minutes before the show that both of us actually are B-Schoolers. B-School is Marie Forleo, who I love you, Marie. And that's a wonderful, wonderful school that I recommend for everybody. So very cool surprise for me and Deb. Okay, let's take a short break. When we come back, we'll get into your program and we'll talk about intuitively listening to your body for its wisdom. Everybody, stay with us. We'll be right back after a short commercial break. Hi, I'm Alan Weisberg, founder of School of Human Potential. To help you determine if it is the right thing for you, I'd like to ask you a few simple questions. Do you consider yourself a hardworking, educated, well-informed individual? If so, do you ever find yourself in a situation that you wish you were better prepared for, such as holding your own in a conversation at an art museum or a concert hall? Managing stress? Parenting? Physical confrontation? Or in bed? Truth is, being a well-rounded individual who's prepared for life's many challenges is difficult in our day and age. We are much too busy working, raising families, and trying to carve out a few moments of peace, let alone worry about becoming self-actualized. We get it. The reason for starting the School of Human Potential was to help people like you become well-rounded and self-actualized without taking a lot of time or money. We found and filmed world-renowned experts and put their knowledge into easily accessible online courses spanning various topics of mind, body, and spirit. You can go at your own pace and access them on any device. By taking the courses, here are some of the benefits you can expect. You will broaden your horizons and deepen your understanding of the world and yourself. You will hold your own in a cultural conversation. You'll be able to protect yourself and your loved ones in a life-threatening situation. You'll find peace and meaning in your life. You'll become a better spouse, partner, and lover. You'll be fit, healthy, and financially secure. But if that's not enough, know that the majority of the courses at School of Human Potential are exclusive. You simply won't find them anywhere else. And here's the most amazing part. Outside of the School of Human Potential, you would expect to pay thousands of dollars for this information and spend countless hours learning it. However, when you enroll with us, you will pay less than $100 per course, and each one takes up to 8 hours. To start, go to www.schoolhp.com. Our hope is that you allow us to take you on a journey leading to a new and improved you. Here's to you reaching your full potential.
Are you tired of all of the negativity in children's fiction? Does your child suffer from night terrors or frequent bad dreams? Do you wish there was a series for your child to read that is fun and inspirational? The Wishflower Field, Marie's Triumph, is a fanciful book that not only entertains, but builds inner strength. Join the many that have seen the difference this positive book has made in the way their children handle fear. The Wishflower Field is truly a series that appeals to all ages and empowers within. Visit thewishflowerfield.com for your copy today. That's thewishflowerfield.com.
Welcome back to School of Human Potential Radio. I'm your host, Alan Weisberg, and we're speaking with Deb Lang about intuitive body wisdom, which we'll start talking about in just a second. And we have very interesting conversations. I have a feeling that Deb and I can spend the next couple of hours just talking about all sorts of topics. If you'd like to jump on with us, please give us a call at 888 888- 888-429-5471. Again, 888-429-5471 if you have any questions or comments for either Deb or myself. All right, let's get to the intuitive body wisdom. What is it? What does it do? And how can people intuit it?
Well, it's the synthesis of my life's work. And as I was saying to you just briefly before, Alan, you know, coming up with a name for your work is a difficult thing. But why I called it intuitive body wisdom was because I feel, for a start, the body is an important element that we are. We're missing out on, we're avoiding, we're disconnected from. So, yes, coming into the body, into our learning from our senses is a critical part of it. But, of course, I don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. It is connecting our thoughts with our body. Mm-hmm. So it is often when we're just thinking something, we could actually be acting or feeling something totally different because we're so used to, if I said white lies, pretending to be somebody else. So there's this real disconnect. There's this real jarring. But when we are connected with our thoughts are aligned with our feelings and senses in our body, we are coming from a really authentic space. I mean, it feels different to be with somebody who is speaking their truth than somebody who is all sort of mixed up. And often if a person isn't aligned, they often come across as being incongruent or controlling or, rather than...
disingenuous.
Definitely. But then I wanted, where the word intuitive comes from is because I also believe, yes, we are spiritual beings. And so the connection with spiritual guidance, the connected with whatever you believe around spirituality is important too. So that's where the word intuitive comes in. So I do guide people. And it doesn't matter what you believe. You can be Buddhist or Catholic, or it doesn't matter what your beliefs are, but I do guide people to help connect with their spirituality or their spiritual beliefs and look to that guidance as well, once again, to be aligned. Mm-hmm. And then the word wisdom is because I think we are information overload. We have so much information in the world, but where's the wisdom? Where are the wise choices? With all of the knowledge in the world, why aren't we making wise choices for ourselves or for our communities or for our countries? Because we've got knowledge, but we need to come to a place of wisdom so that we really are caring for ourselves well and our families and our communities and our countries and the planet. And that needs wisdom, not just knowledge. We need to translate knowledge into wisdom. So that's where the intuitive body wisdom, the title, came from. And, of course, critical to that is, with my work, is guiding people to access that wisdom for themselves. So I don't tell people the answers. I help people to find their own ways to sort through their own issues, their own complexities, their own troubled spaces, so that they can, because it's not something, it's not a one-shot wonder. It's something that you can, it's a way of living and being for life, so that when you are triggered by anything, you're triggered by a person, you're triggered by a memory, you can then go, oh, okay, what's happening with that thought? How's that affecting me in my body? Is there a belief there? Is it a false belief or is it the truth? I can expel energy from my body that might have been accumulated from some distant past activity and it's still stored there because I didn't know how to release it at the time. But how to move that energy out, move anything that's stuck out of my body so that I can come back to peace and contentment. And then how to seek the guidance so that I can know whether what I'm choosing in life is aligned with me, my truth, my authenticity, makes me feel alive, peaceful, peace and contentment, or whether it's something that I'm choosing because other people have told me that I should be doing this or should be doing that or whatever in life. So that's kind of a brief summary.
It sounds like a beautiful program. I haven't had a chance to check it out yet, but I'm looking forward to it because it certainly hits all of the right notes for me. I also find it funny that even in the corporate life, you know, you're talking about we have a wealth of wealth of information but no wisdom. Same thing with my corporate life. I spent 15 years in business intelligence trying to take all of the data that we're accumulating and making sense out of it and making intelligence out of it. So the idea is the same. And I think the reason why it's coming up right now is because old people should understand that even though we're left-brained, and many people are left-brained because this is, you know, the society that we live in, you can apply those same things that you're very good at your job to yourself and to your body and to your connection, because you have all of this information overload. Let's start peeling that away. Let's see what actually drains your energy. Let's only focus on things that are important to you at that particular time, which is not to make it sound selfish, but you have to know who you are in order to understand your space, have your boundaries, so then you can react to the world that's around you. Talking, and you and I were talking during the break, and I find this conversation fascinating, about not telling people what to do. You're not coming from the place of being an expert. You're coming from the place of being a guide. You are guiding somebody to themselves. And it's a hard road to take because people want somebody to tell them what to do. I was at a retreat recently, and I had a very interesting conversation with a very smart man of certain years and lots of experience. And one of the first questions that he asked me is, who are my teachers? And that question on its own may seem harmless, but behind that is a very special question of not who you are, but who did you learn from? And immediately I said, my teachers are me. I'm getting my information from me. I can tell you who I read. I can tell you who inspires me. I can tell you the information that I've learned from certain people because I value their experience, but everything goes through me. And most of the information that's been the most important has come through me. Not because I know all of the answers, but because I am aligning, I'm asking for my guidance, and that information flows through as it does for everybody. It just, many people choose not to listen for whatever reason. So who is your teacher? It should be you. That should be the only answer, and it should not be arrogant. It should be the rule. Because if you decide to actually align with yourself, then you don't have to find somebody to follow. You don't have to be asking everybody to tell you what to do. You can listen to your own guidance of your body, of your spirit, of that connection. And your life would be that much better for it.
Yes, I agree with you. I agree with you. And that doesn't mean to say that you don't still seek out and listen to other people, because I'm sure there are lots of people that I seek out and listen to and want to share, and through the conversation, new information, new wisdom emerges. But there is a distinct difference between just seeking out information to be told what to do and seeking out information or guidance to help you actually learn how to do it for yourself. And that, I know the word empowerment's been bandied around for years, but that is real empowerment when you can choose for yourself, when you have integrated information from somebody else into your own being so that you can make wise choices for yourself. And it was interesting too, you first mentioned about energy. That's a critical part of my programs, whether I work with people one-on-one or in groups, is sensitizing people again to energy, to the energy within them, the energy within a relationship, the energy within a room or a location or you know, your house or a building. So a lot of my work is really sensitizing people to what's actually there, but they've stopped looking at or listening to or paying attention to. And yes, and really noticing when your energy state is one where you do feel good about yourself, you're feeling good, so you're feeling energized to do the things that you want to do in life, versus your energy either being sucked out of you or drained because you're with people who perhaps are energy vampires or who you find intimidating and you don't know how to speak up for yourself. But it's all those little things that if you notice, okay, I'm with someone and now I'm drained, if you can notice that and go into your body, that once again that draining is telling you that perhaps this, it's not a rule for everybody, this is an example, maybe, mm-hmm. that is saying you're not speaking up for yourself, you're losing your power, but not a controlling power, just the power of being with yourself, because you've been either intimidated or demeaned or whatever else. So there's a loss of who you are. It's like leaking yourself. You're less there, you're less present. And so you actually lose your power, you lose your sense of self. Mm-hmm. And so to then notice that and go, okay, well, what do I have to do to reclaim myself in that situation or with that person? Still be in myself, allow them to be them, not control them, but not be controlled by them. So I lose my sense of self. Mm-hmm. So about creating what I call like a loving, kind boundary around myself, so I can be in the world as a, you know, a peaceful, friendly human being that wants good for myself and others, but not allow myself to be diminished by other people who may not be quite as aware and who are much more into control. I mean, I think control, fear, and love are, you know, principal emotions and energies in this work. So the more that you become very sensitive to feeling when your energy is dissipating and if there's control or fear there, versus when you're in a state of love and peace and contentment, because there is respect, mutuality, you know, within the relationship, whether it's in a workplace or in a home family sort of setting. So energy is a really critical component of my work. Critical.
Mine too. It's a fascinating world. You know, we're talking about draining and the energy, you know, kind of flowing out. Or I was always using the example, you know, because I'm an empath. So going into a Walmart or going into, you know, a large store with lots of people, and I'm going in there, I'm very calm, I'm peaceful. Within, you know, 20 minutes, I'm angry, I am bitter, I feel drained. And after a little while, I started noticing, okay, there's something happening there. It's not about me. It's nothing about what's happening to me while I'm at Walmart, because I'm feeling just as fine. Mm-hmm. But something is happening. So that being drained, that process, you know, empaths go through that. That's where we start talking about protections, and we start talking about, you know, kind of being in your own energy. But at some point, and this is the fine line that people have to realize, and, you know, the insights that I've gotten lately from my guidance, from my teachers up there, if you want to call it, is that as soon as you ask for protection, as soon as you do these things, if there is an element of fear, that alone opens up all of the gates, because you removed your own power. And you said, I am powerless to help myself, and I am seeking help from somebody else, be it from your guides or energy or anything else, it doesn't matter. You have to have no fear, because as soon as there is fear, then the gates are open. If there is no fear, and if you are, as my guides kept saying, don't ask for protection, just be love. Because if you're love, your vibrations are high, you're not worried about anything, and there is nothing that can be penetrated anyway. So it's a refocusing instead of from protection, which is fear-based, to a love-based, because the sun will continue shining. It could care less if you spit in its direction. That's more of that. So, you know, started kind of working and telling people that information. But energy is extremely important. We are energy. There is energy all around us. We're talking stress management. Well, you're stressed because your energy is going in all directions. We're talking about leaking. How about sitting in front of television that's stressing you out, between the news or the shows that people love to watch, that, you know, suspenseful or adventure that puts you in a stressful state? After a while, your body gets used to it, and that's the response that it's seeking, because the body cannot realize whether it's a tiger that's chasing you right now or something else. You're just watching a show. The body is going to have that same response. And you have all of those stress hormones in your body, and that's not healthy in the least. So people have to start, you know, kind of peeling away those layers. One of the things that I did, you know, after I came back from that retreat, is I painfully took away the things that I love in terms of my television sitting and watching shows like Scandal or, you know, all of the spy adventure shows that I love watching, because all of them were keeping me on edge. And that really, number one, messes with your psyche. Number two, just drains your energy. So it's an unnecessary stress. I removed them. I feel so much better. I started watching only comedies or only uplifting things, which sounds like a cop-out, but it's not. I still live in this world. I know what's happening. Mm. But I choose to spend my energy, much less of it in terms of time, on something that's uplifting, that's easy, that's breaking down the barriers and kind of relaxes me instead of getting me all tense. So we have to be cognizant of energy.
We do. And it is about just making choices and taking responsibility for how we want our lives to be and how we want to be feeling. I know I've just had 2 months down in Tasmania in the country, where I just, you know, walked out the door in the morning and the little baby, well, not baby, but they're tiny little wallabies, lots of them. The wildlife down there is just amazing. You know, come to the front door and the native peahens, and there's just rolling hills and forests and beautiful birds and, you know, the sea beyond. And, oh, I just, my energy. I mean, I felt such a good state, so peaceful. I was probably only working for a couple of hours a day, like writing. But I was working, doing that, being really creative and productive in that amount of time, because the rest of the time I was just being so nourished and nurtured by the environment and feeling so good that that's all I really needed to do down there. But I'm in a city at the moment, and I'm already, I've been back, you know, over a month now, but I do already feel that I'm not getting enough just nature, just pure nature that I need. I really need that. And I've been spending a lot of more time on the computer developing this online program, so I can feel I need topping up. I really need topping up to go out, you know, either at the sea, the beach, or the or trees. I just love being around trees and forests. And
it's talking about things that give you energy instead of taking it away from you. You know, go nature. This is what gives you energy. Speaking of energy, we're going to take a short commercial break. When we come back, we will wrap up our discussion with Deborah Lange. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Hi, I'm Alan Weisberg with Recalibrate Your Life, and I help people like you find their soul purpose, align with it, and gain the balance that you seek. But don't take my word for it. Take my clients.
Alan, what can I say but wow? I've always had so many questions on whether I'm on the right path, am I fulfilling my life's mission? These are questions that I assume have been pondered by everyone since the beginning of time. However, the gift that you possess has helped me immensely. It confirmed my need to be artistic, my need to help others so much. I can't even explain the experience. It confirmed so much more than I can describe in this small note of appreciation. Thank you so much for allowing me to speak, allowing me to release my inner thoughts, and most importantly, for confirming and leading me to what I always believed but was not confident enough to believe in. Thank you. Trust me, this was hard for me to do, but I do know that God has blessed us with various gifts, and you have an amazing gift. Thank you. Thank you so much.
You, like all of my clients, deserve to live in alignment with your soul purpose. To begin your journey, visit recalibrateyourlife.com. Or call 800-323-1619. And don't hesitate. Recalibrate. Becoming a well-rounded person in our modern society is no easy task. Never mind finding your true purpose in the process. Thus, at School of Human Potential Radio, we invite world-renowned experts for a discussion on how to achieve both and lead a healthy, wealthy, and fulfilling life. Topics are all over the mind, body, and spirit spectrum, and guests range from Lisa Williams to Yakov Smirnoff and everyone in between. Listen live, call in, and allow us to help you reach your full potential. And welcome back to School of Human Potential Radio, where we're talking with Deborah Lange about intuitive body wisdom and everything else dealing with energy and basically being happy, healthy, and wise living in our material world. So, Deb, we only have about 10 minutes or so left. I do want to talk more about your program. You're launching this program. When is it going to be launched? Tell us a little bit more about it. I believe it's a 6-week online course, if I'm not mistaken. So please give us some details.
Sure. Thanks. That's great. Yes. Well, I'm really excited to be collaborating with Dr. Sue Stack. She's an integral holistic educator. She's had a lot of experience with online programs. It's actually my first group online program.
Yay!
It's great. But what's fantastic is having a collaborator, actually having two hosts, two facilitators, two coaches in the program.
Mm-hmm.
We're actually going to use platform like Maestro, so we can put people into a breakout group. So once it's not just lecture style, it's not just that kind of didactic kind of teaching, telling style. So people can feel like they're in a live workshop because they can have lots of connections with other people. We're going to invite people to have a buddy, or in fact even enroll with a buddy, because it's great to do a lot of it's exercise work. So having a reflective exercise or actually doing something in the world, it's quite playful. I'm also an interplay leader. So using play as a way of really, as a way of being in life, as a way of learning lots. So expanding our knowledge of ourselves through very playful techniques. So it's great to have a buddy to do that with. So we're going to have a special buddy price. So we will be live on calls with people weekly. We will have a Facebook group where people can also be posting questions and sharing their insights and things like that. People will get audios of exercises to do throughout the program. Because it's our first program, we're having a very, very special price. And also for people who've listened into the School of Human Potential Radio, if they put in Human Potential Radio as a voucher, it's a very special price for one person for $180 for the 6 weeks. Or if you have a buddy and you want to enroll together, at $290, which is, like $145 each, for 6 weeks with two coaches, two guides.
Yeah, that's nothing.
So it's pretty economical to do, and we really expect to be able to give a lot of support to people who are on this journey, who really want to start reconnecting with their body, reconnecting with their spiritual guidance as well. We're also suggesting that you might come to the program with an issue or a challenge that's live right now. It could be a relationship issue, it could be a work issue, it could be what's my purpose in life issue, whatever, and use the 6 weeks to use all of these different exercises that we share to explore that, so that by the end of the program you might have a very clear sense of connection with yourself about, yes, this is the way to go or not. Or in fact, it could be after one session you have on a particular issue. And then, so you've got six issues that you actually really resolve and find great clarity and freedom in. But it's not just for that 6 weeks, that the processes then you can keep doing over your lifetime and keep deepening, so that you do become empowered to really be in your own truth. And a part of that too is that the exercises that we share, even with these, we say, this is what we've found useful. But now we want you to play with it, adapt it to what is useful for you. So it becomes your own. It's like when you're a cook, you find a recipe that you love, you use that recipe, and then you start adding in your bits to make it flavored just how you love it. So that's how we work. So, yes, we share what's worked for us and what's worked with the clients we've worked with, but then we want you to adapt it, so it's not just something from us, it's something that it's become your own. You own it. You own the way you connect with your own wisdom.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, so it's not one size fits all. It's very much very unique and very much about adaptation for you to find your own way.
Perfect.
So if people want to use the voucher, Human Potential Radio if they've listened in to the radio station, they can have that very special price. So we'd love to have people there. We really
thank you.
It's the biggest thing in the world for me is the delight that I get when I'm either coaching one-on-one or in a group, and people just open up. I mean, I did a workshop recently, and I've always said this, and I've never done it, in that taking photos of people when they walk in the door and then taking them when they end.
Yep.
Like, because people kind of walk in, you know, like their bodies are and then when they walk out, like there's an openness in their faces. It's almost like chests more expanded. There's much more freedom and ease.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't actually have to take that long. But, of course, you still need to, you know, be doing it regularly rather than going back to habits. But once there is a real visceral sense of being that you've experienced, you don't really lose it. You know, you can come back to it. You can keep coming back to it. So, so we'd love to have people on board with us. And the other thing about it is that we want you to share what's worked for you as well, so that we build our knowledge, build our wisdom of this work, which is, I think, revolutionary in the world, and that will expand our knowledge and wisdom of how to reconnect with our bodies and our spirits and be more aligned and come from our truth. Because I think that field of knowledge and wisdom is still expansive, is still in its exploratory stages, even though I've been on this journey for, you know, 30-odd years, and people like, you know, Dr. Jean Houston, I've studied with her, you know, human potential guru for years. We're still in our infancy in expanding our knowledge of how to reconnect with our body wisdom. And of course, some people would say, well, it's been there for years and you can go back to yoga and whatever, thousands of years. There is knowledge and wisdom there. But certainly what I found is a lot of, and I have done yoga and meditation and Buddhism and all sorts of things, but for me, I wanted to find a practice where, yes, I'm not looking up to somebody in a hierarchical, mm-hmm. I'm not having to depend on somebody. I am seeking out my own wisdom in a company of like-minded people where we are all interdependent with one another. There's mutuality and appreciation of one another.
And there is amplification. That's what I found. When you're around people, then everything gets amplified. People get much more insights. They're much more connected. That energy exchange is very, very freely shared, and that's great. Forgive me, I did miss, when is it starting?
We're looking at launching next week.
Oh, so, perfect. Yes,
so if people want to get on board right now, we'd love to have them there. And yes, Human Potential Radio as a voucher, and yes, it'll be fantastic. So I really appreciate coming on with you, Alan. I could just talk with you for hours about.
And I'm plan on doing that. So we'll talk soon. And thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate it. I know it's morning where you are. So it's great. Great what you're doing. Best of luck with it. Enjoy, because that's what it's about. The rules of the universe about giving and receiving is you're giving people the ability to receive themselves. Mm-hmm. And there is nothing greater than that.
Great way of putting it, Alan. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thanks so much for coming. And thanks to everybody for listening. We enjoyed having you on. Next week, we'll come back with yet another interesting person to talk about how we expand our consciousness, how we become more well-rounded, and how we continue to grow, because we never, ever stop growing. Love you all. Love and light to you, and wonderful night. I'm Alan Weisberg on School of Human Potential Radio.
Thank you once again for listening to School of Human Potential Radio. We hope you enjoyed the program and are inspired to make a positive change in your life. For more information about the school, please like our Facebook page and visit www.schoolhp.com. To sign up for a session with Alan, please visit www.recalibrateyourlife.com or call 1-800-323-1619.